You're listening to the WHO podcast. My name's Chris Powell, and this is episode 29. In this edition, the Global Tuberculosis Control 2008 report is launched, an emergency vaccination campaign in Iraq, and a new edition of the International Medical Guide for Ships is published. The World Health Organization this week released its annual report on tuberculosis. The report says that the pace of progress to control the TB epidemic slowed in 2006. That's the most recent year for which data were available. Dr. Marcus Espinel of the Stop TB Partnership explains.
The epidemic is slowing down, but it's not enough. It's very modest what we are seeing in terms of decline. What we need to do is basically to ensure the finding of more and more cases to control this disease.
New data used in the report show a reduction in the progress in diagnosing people with TB. WHO Director General Dr. Margaret Chan talks about the risks.
Too many TB cases are not being diagnosed. This robs patients of the benefits of treatment. But it also means that the potential of infectious individuals to spread the disease in communities to others is not being checked. Poor management of TB cases has dire consequences. Inadequate treatment drives the development of multi-drug resistance TB, in short, MDR-TB, which is much more difficult and 100 times more costly to treat.
There were 9.2 million new cases of TB in 2006. This number included 700,000 people living with HIV and 500,000 people with multi-drug-resistant TB. Following a recent measles outbreak in the province of Anbar in Iraq, the Ministry of Health, WHO and UNICEF recently launched a campaign to deliver the MMR vaccine to about 200,000 children under 5 years old. The combined MMR vaccine protects children from measles, mumps and rubella. Dr. Naima Al-Ghazir, WHO representative for Iraq, talks about how the 10-day immunisation drive is going.
Ministry of Health personnel and vaccinators to be moving from house to house using various means in vaccinating each child. And so far the report has been very good, that there has been a very, very encouraging response from the families and the communities, and they actually have been supporting the vaccinators to move from one place to another. In Anbar we have stories of people moving not only with cars but also with bikes, with donkeys, horses, and all means of communication to reach the children.
The ongoing conflict not only poses risks to the vaccination teams, it also puts burdens on the cold chain network, the system which stores vaccines at the right temperature to keep them effective.
Cold chain has been a problem. There is a big support from UNICEF and the World Health Organization in using all the means to ensure that the vaccine is safe, the vaccine that the children are getting are not ruined, and there are several measures, technical measures, that the health professionals use to make sure that the vaccine that they give to the children is actually has been kept at the right temperature.
Dr. Naima Al-Ghazir, WHO representative for Iraq, talking about the challenge of keeping vaccines safe and effective in difficult areas. Seafaring has always been a dangerous occupation. Long voyages, extreme weather conditions and accidents can take a heavy toll on the health of crew members. Seafarers face bigger health risks and often they're cut off from medical care and help available to people on the shore. WHO has recently published a new edition of the International Medical Guide for Ships, the most authoritative guide to medical and health care at sea. Since it first came out in 1967, the book has been a standard reference for medical care on ships. Dr. Lara Gologli from WHO Press edited the latest edition of this book and came into the studio to tell us more.
things have changed, luckily, in the last 20 years. And some of the recommendations and guidance given in the previous edition was no longer in line with medical practice. There are more women working as seafarers, so pregnancy, delivery and childbirth needs to be properly addressed in the book. There's less, luckily, of yellow fever and plague, which was addressed in the previous book, and more of other diseases such as HIV, which weren't in existence when the last edition was published. So it's really been a major revision, both in content and in presentation.
What range of emergencies are faced on a ship?
Most ships, in fact, do not have medical personnel on board. And as ship crews are getting progressively smaller, they're less likely to have medically trained personnel on board. But all ships have obligation to train a named first responder to any medical emergency on board. And this book is used for the training of those people in order to fulfill the ship owner's obligations in terms of providing care to the crew. This book is essential.
Not all ships have medical personnel on board. So in a situation where people are at sea and there's a problem, how will people use this book?
Well, the same things happen to people on board ship that happen on land because of the dangerous environment in which they're working, a lot of other things that don't happen on land. So you have every gamut of problems that you would see in an emergency room, from violent crime to poisoning to suicide attempts to heart attacks to falls from a height, with the addition of cold water exposure, drunkenness, diabetic crises, everything you can imagine. And this book covers everything, essentially. It really does.
Dr. Lara Gologli from WHO Press, telling us about the new edition of the International Medical Guide for Ships. That's all for this episode of the WHO podcast. Thanks for listening. You can read more about these stories and find more public health information at www.who.int. If you have any comments on our podcast or have any suggestions for future health topics, drop us a line. Our email address is podcast@who.int.